Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi. Today is Saturday, April the 27th, 2024. It is the fourth Saturday in ordinary time. And our reading today, I believe, is from the, from the gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." So sometimes these readings from John are hard to talk about, but God and John, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, and the Apostle John are all calling us to go deeper, to understand more deeply who God is. And in understanding who God is, we understand ourselves better, and vice versa. One thing that we're seeing from this reading is that you and I were made for the Father. We were made by the Father. We were made for the Father. It's true, the Bible tells us the Father made us for his Son and through his Son. But ultimately, it is all about the Father. Ultimately, it is about the fact that you and I were made to be fathered. You and I are incomplete without the Father. You and I were made to be children that are loved and taken care of and doted upon. You and I were made for heaven, and heaven is the Father's house. This is what we were made for. So it's a profound mystery right then and there, because how very often we don't remember it. How very often, I mean, I always say this, Pope John Paul talked about it all the time, the source of sin, the source of all the problems in the world is the father wound. It's the crisis of fatherhood. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that today in the big picture, although it can be hard to find the words, but also what this means for us as we live our lives and as individuals, what this means. We were made to be fathered. Now, Jesus came to earth, and one of the reasons he came, in addition to dying for us, and that's very much wrapped in with what I'm about to say, Jesus came to live the life that we need to live to be saved. He didn't just come to get us. He didn't just come to conquer the devil, although, yes, those are essential. Those are very much a part of it. But Jesus came to be the template. He came to be the bridge in his flesh. Jesus came, and this is why he talks about the works, that we will even do greater works than him. Why is that? Because Jesus came to reestablish the fatherhood of the human race, meaning not the human race being the Father, although we reflect the Father, and I like to talk about that, but the human race being fathered. See, we lost that connection to our Abba, our daddy in heaven, through sin. We lost it in the Garden of Eden. It's never come back the way that it was. However, Jesus comes into our world of sin where everybody else is missing the mark big time, and everybody else is getting caught up in all kinds of insanity through sin, but also just through all kinds of brokenness and dysfunction. Jesus comes into all that. And ultimately, it's his death on the cross and his resurrection that break through it all, that redeem it all. But even in living his life, both in his body that he takes from the Blessed Mother before the crucifixion, right? As he's living our lives in weakness and suffering, but then even afterward in his glorified body, Jesus lives as the template for what you and I are called to. Jesus goes first where you and I are called to go. In other words, Jesus is baptized. Jesus, in his humanity, receives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is mothered and fathered in his humanity. Jesus is part of a family. Jesus has friends. The list goes on and on and on. Jesus lives a human life. He is just like us in all things, except that he never commits a sin. And that's what makes it work. Because if he had committed sin, well then, I mean, we could, of course, philosophically argue it's impossible for God to sin. But still, if he had sinned, then it would have been broken. Then he would be broken just like the rest of us. But Jesus does not sin. Jesus perseveres in doing the Father's will. Now, like I said, the crucifixion comes at the end of his, you know, time of living on this earth with all of our weaknesses. The crucifixion comes at the end because that's ultimately what's needed to break through. That's what's needed to pay the price for our sins. That's what's needed. And of course, his giving us the Eucharist is our connection to the crucifixion, that we eat his body and drink his blood that was shed for us on the cross, the body broken for us, sacrificed for us on the cross. Now, by receiving that, we're able to become one with him. We're able to achieve that true oneness, that communio, communion, becoming sons in the Son, as they say, theologically speaking. So, Jesus lives it first. Jesus, then, what's he doing here on earth? He's becoming the Son of the Father in his humanity, so that we can become sons and daughters of the Father in our fallen, broken humanity. This needs to happen. I always talk about prayer being, once again, based on Jesus. Jesus is the template. You and I are saved through our prayer lives. Salvation comes through prayer. The Blessed Mother says it when she appears. Our Lord talks about it constantly, the need for prayer, and he lives it. He does it. Why does Jesus pray? Well, is he enjoying it because he loves his Father? Sure. There's difficult moments in prayer too, which we know Jesus experienced as well. But it's more than just he prays because he wants to, or he's praying because he's getting a little downtime to relax in the desert or something. But no, he prays so that we can pray. He prays so that in his humanity, he's connecting to the Father so that you and I can connect to the Father. So Jesus in his humanity is fathered by God so that you and I can be fathered by God. And ultimately, our sins can be taken away because of his cross, which enables us to become sons in the Son. This ties into how important the Mass is, by the way, because in the Mass, I mean, great saints will say it. I forget exactly what church documents talk about this at this moment, but when the Eucharistic prayer is prayed and we have that opportunity to offer Jesus with Jesus to the Father, we offer Jesus. We offer the Eucharist. The priest does it as an essential part of the Mass, but we can make that offering as well. We can place ourselves on that paten. Our prayers go up to the Father in and with and through Jesus, and therefore the Father looks at us and is well pleased. Otherwise, he would see our sins. But they say, when the Eucharist is offered up and we are united with that Eucharist being offered, we are seen in a perfect way because we are offered with the Son. The Father sees the Son, and he sees us in the Son. Also, then, when we receive him, if we receive him in the state of grace, if we receive him devoutly, then and attentively, then once again, we are connected with the Father through the Son. We are receiving those graces, that love of the Trinity, that indwelling, that back and forth between Father, Son, and Spirit starts to take place in us because of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the goal of this life. Receiving the Eucharist, being in the Mass, offering Jesus to the Father. I can't believe that people miss out on this, but then again, people don't know this. People don't know these mysteries. The majority of Catholics, I think it's like 90% at this point, don't know these mysteries. They don't believe in them. They don't care about them. And yet they wonder why they're upset in life, why they're depressed, why they struggle with their self-esteem. You and I, and I struggle with my own self-esteem, but guess what? The more I come to understand this mystery, The more I recognize my own sonship, the more then there is satisfaction. The more then there is joy, the more then there is peace, the more there is confidence that I am being taken care of. Now, what's happening in our world today? And I teach, and when I've taught many years in different situations, and I've gotten close with a lot of kids. I've mentored a lot of kids. And it's always the same thing when you look at the bare basics of what's going on with so many of these kids. There's a father wound. Now, I mean, take the healthiest kids that have the best families. They still have it too. We all do. We all have the father wound because we're not perfectly connected with our Father in heaven, and because our fathers on earth are not perfect. But first of all, it drives home the point of how important parenting is in this world. Pope John Paul, once again, this is something he talked about in his Theology of the Body. You and I are all called to be parents. We are all called to reflect the Father. Even if you are a woman, if you are a woman, you are called to reflect the Father the way Mary reflects the Father as mother, right? But Pope John Paul would say, we are all called. It's part of the vocation to be human to we are all called to be father and mother. This is why the devil wants you to be confused about your gender and why this is becoming more and more widespread so that you can't be father or mother because you don't know who you are. So first of all, we need to work on ourselves to understand what does it mean that I am a man? What does it mean that one is a woman? And then from there, how do I use that to father? How do I use that to mother? Like I was saying about students, so many students over the years, even when they have a father living with them 24/7, so many of them are so broken in this area and they need to be fathered. Whatever that means, it means so many things. It means they need to be led. They need to be taught. They need to be affirmed. They need to feel safe. So many of our kids don't feel safe. They don't feel protected. They don't feel provided for. And it causes anxiety. It causes anxiety disorders. It causes your day-to-day just feelings of, am I going to be good enough? Am I going to be loved? Am I going to be accepted? When there is a father wound, the human person doesn't feel accepted, doesn't feel good enough, doesn't feel loved, doesn't feel affirmed. God the Father wants us to have these things. It's the reason we exist, as I said at the beginning of this. I exist to be fathered. So when I feel that I'm not good enough, that's my father wound. It's like a dog barking at me. You're going to fail today. You're not going to be good enough. The people are not going to like you. The children are going to reject you. They're not going to listen to you. And by the way, they're just kids, but make sure you take it personally because it's the father wound. We all have it. We all have that within us saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to be okay. We have that negative stuff, those lies so ingrained in us that it's all wrapped up in why we don't know who we are. You and I were made to be fathered. You and I were made to walk on water. You and I were made to heal the sick. You and I were made to preach the truth. You and I were made for total confidence, total peace. As I'm saying these things, I'm naming charisms. I'm naming all the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You and I were made for courage. You and I were made for wisdom. All these things come from the Father. There's so much more I could say, but God mediates. That's how it works. That's how the church works. His plan at the beginning was no mediation. Adam and Eve are in the garden. He's in the garden too. Everything's good. In heaven, there will be no mediation. Well, it's hard to say because in heaven, there's going to be both end. There's going to be everything. We're going to see God face to face. We're going to be with the Lord, but we're also going to be with one another, loving each other endlessly forever and ever. So is that mediation? I don't know. It's both end. It's not like we leave out the Father because now I'm just talking to Mary. No, Mary's there. The Father's there. The angels are there. We're all there. Everybody that made it, we're all there. And we're all in joy. But still, on this earth, well, yes, are we called to have a prayer relationship with the Father? Yes. Ideally, I'm just talking to him all day and he's talking to me all day. You know, the Blessed Mother didn't really need that much affirmation from other people. Who knows if she needed any at all, being without sin? I mean, we all need it. It's part of our nature. We need love. We need fathering and mothering. But the Blessed Mother, because she was without sin, and we believe she had a perfect prayer life. She's, of all people that ever lived, human beings, and of course, in addition to Jesus, they needed the least amount of affirmation from other people. Why? Because they had a perfect prayer relationship. So yes, ideally, you and I, we just pray and we have this connection with the Father and we hear his voice and we're inspired by him and we have everything we need spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, intellectually. That's the ideal. But God mediates. God sends us so much help. So I think about, you know, every so often when I think about fatherhood, who have been the best fathers in my life, you know, we're all fortunate. We have all kinds of different mentors. We have our human fathers, and they have their ups and their downs. So we remember the good. We try to remember the good. We try to heal from the bad. I think of both of my grandfathers that died when I was one. I was five. No, I was four when the first one died, about to turn five. And then it was a little over a year later. I had just turned six when my other grandfather died. And I lived with the second one. And, you know, just the short little memories I have from him have been so affirming to me my entire life. I carry those memories with me my entire life. Do we even realize how important it is, even if it's only short-lived, even if you only have a little bit of time with this young person or that young person, especially when they're entrusted to you, our influence can go very, very far. The amount of love we give, the amount of attention and affirmation, the amount of safety that we provide. It can go very, very far. But also, I think about the saints. I think about Padre Pio. Now, they say Padre Pio, yeah, he's a saint, but they say he wasn't perfect. They say he had a bad temper. I don't know. But I think of him as my spiritual father, definitely. One of my spiritual fathers. He's this big, burly guy that used to fight with the devil. So I'm wearing Padre Pio's socks right now, honestly. I want to completely entrust myself to Padre Pio's intercession because he's powerful with God and powerful against the devil. I think of St. John Newman lying there in the casket in Philadelphia at 5th and Girard, and how many times I've knelt before that casket to just tell him all my worries and receive so many favors through his intercession. When I'm teaching, I especially remember St. John Bosco, how hard it is to imitate him. I'm going to talk tomorrow about the difference between becoming holy through imitation and external works versus becoming holy from the inside out. And I want to be more like St. John Bosco, the way he taught these children, the way he was so good with them and so fatherly. But you know, I need to be fathered before I can give that fatherhood. And yes, that ultimately is about me and God, but it's also about intercession too, you know, St. Joseph as well. But yeah, I think about St. John Bosco and I think, man, I constantly fall short. See, once again, that's the father wound focusing me on my falling short. But I pray to him and I pray, St. John Bosco, help me to be transformed on the inside, to become more like you. So then I can do the things that you did. In other words, I need St. John Bosco to father me more so that then I can father these other children. I think about St. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, and just meeting him on a few different occasions, such as a couple different World Youth Days, and how, man, he was fathering thousands of us all at the same time, telling us that he loved us, and we broke down into tears on the spot, which I'm starting to do right now just thinking about it. Wow. Talk about the gift of fatherhood. That man, the Holy Spirit just was like a fire hose through his heart out to the masses. But then again, that's the charism that comes with the papacy. If one is truly living that grace of the papacy, it starts with baptism. It goes through the priesthood, him being a bishop and then him being the Pope. The Lord provided this grace and he knew how to use it. How to just aim that fatherhood at all of us in just such a profound way. The list goes on and on. I think of some priests in my life too. A lot of them were not fatherly at all. Some of them had some fatherly qualities. Some of them were more fatherly than others. And I remember, you know, certain situations with certain priests where I just got so much from their ministry. And I'm very, very grateful to them. I called one recently. I think he's in his 80s now. But I had spent some time with this man and he was very, very, just kind, just good. And that kindness that he showed me just went such a long way with me in terms of my own growth, formation. Once again, the sense of security, the sense of, I'm loved, I'm good enough, I'm being taken care of, I am fathered, therefore I am becoming more and more Chuck as the days go by. This is who we are. If you want to know who you are a son, you are a daughter of God the Father, the creator of the universe. Hope that stays with you the whole day. Have a great day. God bless you.